Jesus. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Oh, nine. Phew, okay, good. It's a little nervous to be up here, I have to admit. This is the only church I've ever been a member of. This is Parkdale United Church. This is Anthony Bailey's church. But as I look around and see all your faces, it's good. It feels like home, doesn't it, Beverly? It feels just like coming back home. And it's whenever we go away, it's been, I don't know, 3 years since we've worshiped with you. It's been over 5 years since we moved away. It's actually officially now that we've been away longer than we lived in Ottawa, but this still feels like home. We all have periods in our lives where we just want to hold on to memories, things we'll never want to forget. And for us, for Beverly and I, our time in Ottawa is one of those. But I think as we look at our reading from Matthew this morning, we see one of those moments for Peter. It's got to be a moment that he and the disciples just want to hold on to forever. Jesus is walking with the disciples, and he stops and asks them a question. It almost sounds to me like he's checking the polls. How am I doing? How is my campaigning paying off? Do people know who I am? Who do people say the Son of Man is? The disciples stop and put their heads together, and they start to make their list. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then Jesus asks, who do you say I am? Now, I imagine there had to be some silence while the disciples paused to think that one over. How do you respond to a question like that? Finally, Peter speaks. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Ding, ding, give him a prize. He's got the answer. Jesus praises Peter for his answer, for his confession of faith. Jesus is seeing his work, his teachings, his healings, it's all starting to bear fruit. People are understanding who he is. But don't you tell anyone. Wait a minute. Don't tell anyone? Isn't this news that everybody needs to know? Why is there this great secrecy about revealing who Jesus is? Well, I think Jesus explains that to us as well. If you look back at how he praised Peter for getting it right, you see how Jesus expects his identity to spread. Jesus said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. No one told you who I am, but by my Father in heaven. God revealed who Jesus is, not anybody else. Then what are we supposed to do as followers of Jesus Christ? How then are we supposed to share the good news that we have received? Aren't we supposed to do that? Well, of course we are. We are supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We are to serve God with our entire being. But it's not up to us to reveal the Spirit. God chooses when to reveal the Spirit. It's not up to us. Our job is to be there to help those people nurture and grow when they receive this amazing gift from God. Notice as Jesus praises Peter, he says, on this rock I will build my church. It is on these people who come to understand who Jesus is that the church will grow and flourish. Jesus says, there will be the keys to heaven, so that the doors may be thrust open so that God can allow people to enter in. On Thursday morning, I had my annual interview with Presbytery, with a committee that oversees students and inquirers for ministry. It went well, thank you very much. I'm glad to have that over. But I was asked the question, how do I resolve or reconcile my own theological beliefs, which may be at odds at times with that which is said by the national church? How do I talk to people about these things? My answer was basically, I don't. When I talk to people in their homes That is not the questions they are asking. Their concerns are more about their own community, the future of their own church. Why is my church struggling in attendance? Why don't my kids come to church? You go to church. How come my kids your age don't go to church? I have to confess, it's dangerous to ask me these questions because I think about this a lot. I read about it. I pray about it. I talk about it. I listen to people's concerns. And I worry about it too. I was reading a book by Mark Iaconelli the other night called Contemplative Youth Ministry. You know, some nice light reading after an interview. I was reminded that we hold our answer in many ways in our reading this morning. We know who God is. We know who Jesus is. We know what Jesus did for us. We pray, we praise, we worship, we do all the right things. But what I often see is one key missing element. We don't live in a pure relationship with God. We don't listen, we don't hear, we don't experience God. We don't let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us and to let God be felt through our entire being. Mark Iaconelli says we have to share not only the teachings of Jesus, but more importantly, the presence of Jesus. If we can have a deep, sustaining relationship with God by coming into the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will move among us in ways we can never imagine. Only God can set limits on what we can do. And it can happen. If you don't think this is possible, I have proof. There's a pew in this church that is proof for me. See now. It's this one. This pew, for me, is proof that in this church such a thing can happen. And of course, I have to share a story before I can tell you why. It's been 10 years ago this week that Beverly and I first moved to Ottawa so I could begin my career at Nortel and Beverly could begin her studies at Ottawa U. I won't talk from Beverly's point of view, but for me, I believed in a God who created the universe and kind of left us alone to take care of it or not take care of it. I heard of Jesus and I knew a few of his stories, not very many. But that was it. Then I ended up coming here. And here I came in direct contact with people who lived an experiential relationship with God. People who used their amazing gifts for ministry to help nurture people and to help them grow. Whether they know it or not, they mentored me as a student to understand my own gifts that I have and to grow into a faith. They helped me understand so much more about our Messiah, the Son of the living God. From there, God revealed himself to me. And I accepted Jesus Christ, the presence of Jesus Christ into my life, and my life changed. It is in that pew where God spoke to me on the morning of January 12th, 2003. That Sunday morning, I had been kind of feeling the tap on the shoulder from God that I may be called into ministry. I wasn't sure what kind, and I had been exploring various things and talking with Anthony and many other people about what I might be called to do. It was on that Sunday morning when that tap on the shoulder became nothing less than a slap in the face. I can't remember what you preached on that morning, but whatever it was prompted a conversation with God. God told me that morning that I would be a minister in his church. And as I sat there looking up at Anthony, I said, can I do that? Can I be up there? And God spoke to me very clearly and said, yes, you will be up there. And just over 5 years later, here I am. It was that morning that I became a Peter. Remember the old Dr. Pepper commercial from the late 70s, early 80s? Songs just pop in my head, and I think Anthony can relate to this too from my experiences with him. There's that commercial where they're singing a song. I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? It's just a catchy little tune. So I had to look up the commercial, so I went to YouTube and I typed it in, and I found the old commercial from the 70s. It starts off with a young man drinking a Dr. Pepper, and he starts singing a song, and people around him start to join in, and they're all drinking Dr. Pepper, and they're all singing a song, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? And then it's a great image of a community coming together. So this morning I ask, wouldn't you like to be a Peter too? I would have never become a Peter without the influence of all the people in this church, the other Peters. People who helped me grow. People who lived their lives fully aware of the presence of Jesus Christ in them and in others. If you look at the short history of this church in the last few years, you've seen three candidates for ministry come from this congregation. You have overseas personnel serving in South America. Your support and encouragement has allowed these people to step out and use their gifts in many amazing ways. The Peters in this church have helped people be more than just active in this community. You have spread your web across the country and across the nation, across the world. But more than that, it's your commitment to being Peters, of living out your faith, that creates an atmosphere to God, for God to do amazing work, to let other people become Peters as well, just like I did. Next Sunday afternoon, Beverly and I fly back to Halifax. And yes, we do have pictures of the kids. And then 2 days later, I start my final year of study at AST with the hopes of being ordained next spring. And as I start to think about what my ministry might look like when I get out there on my own, those old questions keep coming back around the future of the church. Those questions people keep asking me. And it's not just the people in their homes and in the pews who ask these questions, but clergy ask me these questions as well. It's a problem felt all over. I hear it everywhere and all the time about concerns for the future of our church. I think the answer is simple in many ways, almost too simple that we just completely forget about it. In our drive to create more programs and studies, we miss out on the basic elements. To survive as a church, as a people of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to embrace our living God. Jesus Christ is not a prophet. He's not John the Baptist. He's not Elijah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Those words spoken by Peter 2,000 years ago are as true today as when they first escaped his lips long ago. It is only when we too become Peters that we are fully able to recognize God's gifts within us and to allow God to use us to help nurture others. It works. You have shown me it works. I wouldn't be here today if it didn't. Let us pray. Loving and holy God, we give you thanks for all your people, the Peters of this world who help us all be nurtured and to grow into disciples of you. God, we ask that you bless us all this day with the hearing of your words, so that we may go out into the world being Peters as well. Amen and amen.